I'll be reading from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. The reading can be found in the Pew Bible on page 1902. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Every born-again believer has been blessed with a special gift from God. Everyone who's born again. And theologically speaking, this gift is called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 16 and 17, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." John 16, 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." John 16, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Every born-again believer has been blessed with the indwelling Spirit of God. And God's Spirit brings us the very presence and power of Christ. In 1 John 3 and verse 24, John says that we know God abides in us through the Spirit whom he has given us. In salvation, God gives believers a new heart, a change of disposition. Before salvation, we were disposed to walk apart, away from God, against God. This new heart causes us to desire to know God. And God also graciously gives us his Spirit, new heart and his Spirit. We can love God, love others, obey commandments, believe on Christ, because our hearts are now inclined to God, and especially because of the indwelling Spirit's work. He makes us new. He teaches us. He empowers us. He grows us. He moves us in the direction of Christ's likeness. Every believer has the indwelling Spirit of God. Now, I say all of that because as the Apostle John writes 1 John, he is well aware that there are some who claim to have the Spirit who do not have the Spirit. There are some who claim to speak in God's name by his Spirit, who do not speak in God's name. There are some who claim to speak in God's name and actually preach and teach error, not truth. And that is why he writes in our text this morning of the need for believers to test the spirits. For in truth, there are false prophets and false teachings and antichrists. John is writing here to say that if you're a Christian, you need discernment. The passage here is driven by two commands. They're both in verse number one. And essentially, those commands mean use discernment. If you look at verse number one, the first one is, do not believe every spirit. And the second command is, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Both are in the present tense, the verbs there. And that simply means this isn't a one-time deal. John is saying, don't believe every spirit, like all the time in your Christian life. Don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits, like all the time in your Christian life. Be aware that you need to use discernment. But these two commands are just a part of some very important things in this passage that John has to say. And so I've broken it down into five. About discernment. And the first one is this. Instead of naively embracing every teaching, use spiritual discernment. That's what John is saying to us. Instead of naively embracing every teaching, use spiritual discernment. We recognize John in 1 John is addressing a particular situation. He's addressing the concern for particular false teachers who are deceiving Christians, trying to deceive the Christians in the churches that John is writing to. In verse 19 of chapter 2, we've used this verse over and over again. It's key to understanding the whole book. They went out from us. We've called these people the cessationists or secessionists. They seceded. They went out from us, but they were not of us, John says. They weren't really believers. If they were really believers, they would have stuck with it. They went out that it might become plain that they're not all of us. And then down in verse number 26, he says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. They went out, but they're still trying to influence, but not for good. Deceiving. He calls them deceivers, liars, false prophets. And John says here in our text that you who remain in the churches, you who are genuinely in Christ, look what it says, verse number one, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit. In light of these who went out, and their false teachings, and their deception, don't believe every spirit. Just what does he mean by spirit? Well, first of all, he certainly has in view the false teachers who are proclaiming error, but claiming they're speaking by the Spirit of God. This is what the Spirit of God says to you, Christians. John is telling these genuine believers, don't believe everyone who says they're teaching in God's name. Do not believe every spirit. It could be referring to evil spirits, implying that the source of the false teachings are from evil spirits. Now, Paul says similar things in 1 Timothy 4:1, he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves, listen to what Paul says, to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. The idea here is that the source of at least some false doctrine, demons or evil spirits. We might say some false teachings literally are from sources that are hellish. This isn't suggesting that everyone who teaches falsely is demon-possessed. It means they've departed from the orthodox faith. They've departed from sound doctrine. And the false teachings that they're teaching may have a demonic source. The Old Testament spoke of lying spirits, referring to that which was taught by false prophets. But the bottom line here in 1 John 4:1 is a warning to the saints, to the Christians, to not simply believe every person who claims to be speaking by the Spirit of God. He wants these believers to know that they must not accept without question any teaching that they're exposed to. Implied here is that they will be exposed to false teaching. And that's implied for us as well. Instead of naively embracing every teaching, John is saying in verse number one, but test the spirits to see whether they're actually from God or not. He's trying to steer Christians away from being gullible to being a person who just believes everything they hear, and especially everything that they hear that someone says, well, this is from God. Because if we did believe everything we heard from people who say this is from God, we would have to embrace a lot of quite contradictory proclamations. But I do believe there's some believers who think something like this, it's all good. Please understand, discerning truth from error, discerning what's sound doctrine and what is not, is not like eating a buffet where everything in it is something you like. Hey, how do you like this buffet? Oh, it's all good. I like everything here. No, this is a buffet where some of the food is poison. And you must be careful not to eat it. So the first thing John says in this passage is, instead of naively embracing every teaching, use spiritual discernment. Don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see if they're from God. And then the second thing he tells us here is, be aware that false teaching abounds. Notice what he says. Notice why he says, here's why you need to test the spirits. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. For many false prophets. Why do I need to be discerning? Because there's a lot of false teaching out there. And there's a lot of false people who teach it. Be aware, false teaching abounds. Jesus himself warned us about false prophets. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. One Greek word translated ravenous wolves means destructively vicious. Say, how are these false prophets? They're destructively vicious. Heresies are destructive. They're not simply trivial. They're not simply annoyances. They're destructive. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Notice in our text, in 1 John 4:1, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just like the gospel of Jesus Christ is supposed to go out into all the world, so do the false gospels go out into all the world. There's kind of a hint here that John is speaking of the cessationists, or the secessionists, because in chapter 2 and verse 19, he says, they went out from among us. They went out of the church into the world to spread their false teaching. Notice false prophets. False teaching goes out through false prophets. Those who claim that their message is from God, but they're proclaiming a false message. The doctrines of demons. Again, in chapter 4, verse 1, John addresses the churches as beloved. The NIV translates it, dear friends, but it's really a loving expression. He's calling the people he's writing to, people I love, you're my beloved. Because this is due to his pastoral love and care. He warns these believers because he loves them and cares for them. So this morning, let me ask you, are you a believer? You say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm born again. Well, if so, do you realize you're commanded to be discerning? And do you realize that error abounds? There's a great need to be discerning. And it abounds even from those who say, I'm speaking for God. The Spirit says, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits. So, instead of naively embracing every teaching, use spiritual discernment. Number two, be aware of the false teaching abounds. The third important thing John says here is understand there's a tangible way to discern. Okay, so I'm supposed to be discerning. Well, how's that work? Well, John says in verse number two, by this you know the Spirit of God. Well, how do I know? How do I test the spirits? He said, well, here's how you know. Now, remember, he's dealing with some specific false teachings here. We'll go through what he says, and then we'll take what he says and make a broader application of it. But he's giving these believers a tangible way to discern. First, positively, in verse number two, it's what you should hear, and then negatively. And so he says, a spirit, verse number two, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit, a spirit, a teaching that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. We read the Nicene Creed this morning, which, by the way, actually wasn't completely formulated until after Nicaea, the Council of Constantinople. But it was specifically written to combat heresy about Christ, which is why it says clearly there that Jesus, who was God, of the same essence as God, became incarnate and was born a human being. See, you can read that and say, oh, this is from God. Say, how do you know? That's what John says here. Any spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is from God. John is referring to the teachers who denied that God could become a man. Denied that God could take on a human body. There are many reasons they may have done that. One of the reasons is that in that Greek philosophy culture, material things were evil. So why would God take on evil? God couldn't come as a man. There's other reasons as well, but they denied God would do such a thing. But that's exactly what the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, did. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So this test here, this tangible way to discern, is this confession of faith. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. Notice that verse 2 brings the Spirit of God into the picture. By this you know the Spirit of God. He's the one behind the writings of the New Testament and the Old as well. He's the one behind the apostolic teaching that Jesus Christ was the eternal Son who became flesh and dwelt among us. The Spirit of God teaches truth. Now, we broaden that application and understand that for us, we have the truth in the Word of God, including the apostolic revelation of the New Testament, which is why Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We're not looking to the Spirit of God to give us new stuff. We're looking for the Spirit of God to help us understand the truth that's already been put in Scripture. This is our tangible way to discern the Word of God alone. Now, the teachings of the Word of God in church history have many times been clarified by confessions of faith. The error has been corrected. Truth has been expressed. And so we recognize that creeds, the good ones, the right ones, just reflect the teaching of the Word of God. We have the Word of God to test them by. And we recognize that the sole authority we have is Scripture alone. Understand there's a tangible way to discern. Look at verse number 3. This is the negative way to put it. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. John has already pointed out, by the way, in chapter 2, verse 18, that there are many antichrists in the world of his day. And by implication, are still in the world. Antichrist in Scripture has an already and not yet perspective. There have already been many antichrists. Even now, today, there are antichrists in the world. That's the already. And there's a not yet manifestation of Antichrist coming that marks the end of the present evil age. But the main idea that John is conveying here is any false teaching about Jesus Christ is Antichrist. You see, we're saved by faith in Christ, the real one, not a Christ of man's imagination or of an evil spirit's creation. Now, in view here is the idea of denying the true humanity of Christ, a heresy known as Docetism. But John has already mentioned that these antichrists seem to have a whole list of things that they teach falsely about Christ. Denying that Jesus is God's anointed one, is the eternal Son of God, is the Redeemer of fallen humankind. The antichrists in this world are marked by their opposition to the real Christ, the second person of the Godhead. One of the things in the Nicene Creed that they made, this very specifically, it says that Jesus Christ was of the same substance as the Father. God. One God. When they said that, everybody knew they were making Christ God. They were saying Christ is God. You get the three persons in the Nicene Creed, and they're all the one God. Antichrists are marked by their opposition to the real Christ. The second person of the Godhead who became human to live the perfect life we couldn't live, to die an atoning death in the sinner's place, to be resurrected from the dead with a new humanity, so that everyone who comes to him, he'll save by grace through faith. These false teachers certainly believed in a salvation some other way than through faith in an atoning Savior, Jesus Christ. They believed in a way of knowing God apart from redemption through atonement. Their attack is on the gospel. And our discernment begins with a focus on the gospel. We must know what the gospel is according to Scripture, and any deviation from that is error. And our discernment surely goes out beyond the gospel to any significant deviation from God's word. This is our tangible way to discern. By this you know the Spirit of God. Remember what the Bible says about Paul when he first preached the gospel in Berea? After he had just preached in Thessalonica, he went to Berea. He went into the Jewish synagogue and he preached there. And the scriptures say in Acts chapter 17, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed. In other words, they heard Paul speak, and they looked at the Old Testament scriptures themselves, and they saw that what Paul was saying was true to the scriptures. Now, it's interesting that in our passage in 1 John 4, John uses plural nouns and pronouns. He's talking not just to individual believers, he's talking to the church. Spiritual discernment is not simply individual, but a church collectively. It's not simply every man for himself. We're to read the scripture in light of how the larger church reads the scripture. Ultimately recognizing that only what the scripture teaches is authoritative. But we need to be very careful when somebody brings forth a teaching that no one's ever seen in Scripture before. Scripture is the tangible way we have to discern. But there's more here that gives us confidence. So first of all, John says, hey, instead of naively embracing every teaching, use spiritual discernment. Be aware that false teaching abounds. Understand that there is a tangible way to discern. And then, number four, John says, spiritual discernment can be done because we have confidence in Christ. Verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So as John further elaborates on how to deal with the false teachings, the Antichrist teachings, he gives these believers assurance that they've overcome the Antichrist, the false teachers, because the one who is in them is greater than he that is in the world. John says, little children, dear children, the NIV says. Again, being pastoral, a loving spiritual father to these believers, and he wants them to know that in spite of the opposition to the faith, they are assured of victory. By the way, in 1 John, whenever you see little children, I think it's 7 times, it means something important is coming. Here, it's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God that indwells you is greater than Satan, his demonic host, the false teachers, everybody that's anti-Christ. Because the Spirit of God brings to us the presence and power of Christ. And Christ has already defeated the powers of evil. John 16:33, Jesus said, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John says, he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. You are from God and have overcome them. The Antichrist, demonic spirits, false teachers, all who oppose Christ. The Spirit of Christ is in us. And greater than he could mean any opponent of Christ, but certainly there's a special application here to Satan himself. I taught some lessons in Sunday school recently about spiritual warfare. And we said the most important truth about spiritual warfare is the continual awareness every Christian should have that the victory's been already secured for them by Christ, his gospel work. And our fight spiritually is fought from a position of victory. And that's what John is saying here. Little children, you're from God. You're born again. You've overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's a real fight, but it's already won. And so we note here that at the same time John is warning them to be discerning, he's assuring them of victory. Assurance of victory does not negate warnings like the ones here, or the one here we have to be discerning. John isn't writing them and say, be assured, little children, of your victory, therefore, you don't have to do anything. That's not how the scripture works. That's not how it works. It's not, be assured, Christ has won the victory, just sit back and relax. It's, be assured, Christ has won the victory, be discerning. Test the spirits. Test the spirits and be assured of your victory. Your victory secure. But you have to live out the Christian life. It's not an abstraction. It's a theory, a philosophy to be talked about. Let's just talk about Christian life. Christian life is lived out in the world day by day. We're not passive, but actively involved. At the very same time, God is sovereignly working out the victory Christ has already earned. So how am I going to do this spiritual discernment? Well, it can be done because you can have confidence in Christ. His victory. He didn't die on the cross for you, rise again from the dead, so that he'd let you go and lose you. He's a shepherd that's never lost a sheep. He's a captain that's never had a defeat in his battle. He's Christ the victor. Number 5. Last thing. Therefore, confidence does not negate the necessity to listen to the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of error. Don't naively embrace every teaching. Use spiritual discernment because false teachers abound. There's a tangible way to discern. and you can do it because Christ has won the victory. But it means listening. Verse 5. They, and now we're going to look at the contrast. You are from God. They're not from God. They're from the world. See the difference. The saints and the ain'ts, so to speak. Those that are in Christ and those that are not, at least not yet in Christ. It's not that we're any better than them. And we want them to be in Christ. But they are from the world. These spirits and antichrist propagate their false teachings. They're from the world, meaning the world system. And notice it says, therefore they speak from the world. And notice it says, and the world listens to them. Fallen humanity listens to them. They're from this realm of evil. What Paul calls in Galatians, this present evil age, this evil system, this realm of evil that opposes God in every way. The values, attitudes, philosophies, and behaviors that are anti-God, anti-Christ. The world that John told us back in chapter 2 not to love. They speak from the world listens. Verse number 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Now, this is kind of tricky, but I really believe the we in verse number 6, the we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. The we there and the us's there are talking about those who preach and teach apostolic truth. The apostles and the genuine preachers and teachers that followed the apostles, who do speak from the Spirit, who do speak the truth. And notice it says, whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. God's people hear God when he speaks. Isn't that what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. In other words, God gives his people listening ears. John also says that those who are not God's people don't listen. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And then he says, by this, we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. All of this is given so that we can discern what's true. Yes, that's true. I see it in the Word of God. The Spirit of God affirms it. I see it in the Word of God. That's true. Well, that's error. That's antichrist. They're not saying Jesus is the eternal Son of God. They're not saying Jesus was born of a virgin, of the flesh. They're not talking about Jesus going to the cross, dying for sins, rising again. They're not talking about those things. This is how we know truth from error. The indwelling spirit of truth works in the hearts of believers, God's truths. The evil world system promotes its error, and the worldly blind accept the errors. Apart from God's work of giving grace to open their eyes. We discern truth from error by not being naive. We're from God. We hear those who preach and teach who are from God. We listen to God's word. We can discern the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Not by being naive, but by knowing the truths about Jesus and his person and work. By the one who is in us, who is greater than the one who is in the world. By the fact that God has opened our ears to listen to the truth. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This helps us pray correctly for the lost. You have unsaved people that you pray for. One of the things you could be praying is, God, open up their ears that they can hear. When I speak to them the gospel, it doesn't seem to resonate. They don't seem to get it. God, open up their ears. Give them grace so they can hear the truth, God. Help them hear and listen to the truth. And in the meantime, we praise God because he protects us against Satan and false teachers who are under Satan's power. We praise God because our confidence is in God. And we, his people, listen when he speaks through his word. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. If you're a Christian, the message here is very clear. Don't be gullible. Be discerning. Have confidence that ultimately God will keep you from error because of the wonderful grace we have in Jesus. And at the same time, don't let that confidence make you passive, but actively listen to truth. Discern truth from error. Seek to understand the gospel more and more and more. And understand what the Word of God teaches. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And let me say this, if you're here and you're an unbeliever, please be assured your deafness to the gospel is caused by your own unwillingness to want to hear. It's not that the message is in some sort of divine code and you need some kind of a divine decoder to get it. The message is in human language. You don't hear because you reject. And let me just say this, if you've been hearing this morning, God's calling you right now, if you're an unbeliever, to repent and come to Christ by faith. Stop following the doctrines of the devil. Stop hearing those things. Understand that you're a sinner who needs to be saved from sin and brought to God through Christ by grace. Understand God's love, that Jesus went to the cross to die a sacrificial death for sinners and rose victoriously the third day. Understand, if you come to him by faith, even now, if you call out to him for salvation, even now, he'll bring you to God that you might know and enjoy God forever. And hear the truth that those who remain in their sins and die in their sins, who die unforgiven, will experience eternal punishment away from God's presence forever. Christ calls you, and it's urgent that you come even now. Come to the gracious and glorious risen Lord. And my prayer is this morning, if you're a believer, leave here with confidence in Christ. And continue to ask him for grace to grow in the understanding of his word. And be discerning, because he certainly wants you to know the difference between truth and error. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gospel. Lord, help us grow in it and keep us from error, Lord, I pray. Help us understand there is many false teachers. Help us to know the truth about Jesus. Thank you that throughout church history there have been movements of your Spirit in the hearts of your saints to put into words these teachings and doctrines, like the Nicene Creed that we read this morning. Please help us understand, Lord, more and more the grace that you bestowed upon us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even now, Lord, as we have communion, Lord, help us do these things in remembrance of what you've done. Help us understand that this is about remembering what you've done. This isn't really about our committing ourselves more and more to service. This is really about how you served us first. Helping us understand what you've done for us, giving your body, giving your blood for us, for our salvation. And it's only in that strength that we can go and serve your people. So please help us even now to renew our faith as we remember what Jesus has done in the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.